What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 202 of the PS4 Blackcast. I'm JCM. With us this week is Isley.
Yo.
And Messiah.
Hello.
And here we are, recording a little about an hour later than usual. Isley had to go through a giant snowstorm.
And shitty drivers. Came I could have walked back faster.
With his presence.
I was witchering.
That's right. He was looking for Siri. He's like, where are you?
Basically, but it was the, God, I can't even remember what it's called now. Whatever the weird winter frost thing was.
The frost, yeah. It's come, it's claiming your state.
Yes. God, it's so, like, it's not even bad in the city. It's just people are fucking morons when they drive. It's like you're going down a curved road that's at, like, a 20-degree incline, and you've got a 180-degree turn coming up. You're in the mountains, and if you go off the edge, you're going to plummet to your death. What do you do? Oh, I know. You hit your accelerator and you go really quick.
Yep. That's how you got to do it, man.
People are just fucking morons.
Yeah.
It's like how people in California drive when it rains.
It's like, oh my god.
Oh my god, water's falling from the sky. What is it?
You would think it was the end of the world if it rains in Los Angeles the way that the traffic is. Like, it's ridiculous.
Because it basically is the end of the world when it rains in Los Angeles. You guys don't know what water is. Right.
Even here, like, it rains a lot here, where I live, where it doesn't rain, it doesn't make it down to LA, and people here are stupid. Of course, our town's growing, like, really, really fast, so we're getting to that LA traffic level, and nobody here knows how to deal with traffic, so you add water to it, and it's just ridiculous.
People are dumb.
Learn how to drive.
Yep. Too long, don't read.
That's the moral of the story.
It's not a lot of news this week. Hardly anything, actually. So it's like it's just new releases is Dark Souls 3 and Ratchet & Clank, the game based on the movie based on the game. And that's basically, I think there was some, maybe some indie stuff, but there's like those are the two big releases. And everything else is just nothing news-wise. It's all stuff about Dark Souls, like do these nine things first or do this or kill this boss news or, you know, patches that are coming or the DLC that's announced, but like nothing really big. I mean, Microsoft announced like their E3 time, and spoiler alert, it's the same time it is every year. And then it's like Ubisoft reveals theirs. It's like nothing much going on. And then there's aside, it's like the only news I saw outside of that was like the, was it someone from, was it GameStop CEO or someone saying that they think the new gen of consoles or new, wave of consoles will be coming out soon, like speculation, but we'll see what happens there. As far as everything else, it's just not anything really. So I guess this episode will be even shorter than the last one. I'm sure Isley will want to talk about Dark Souls since he's been playing that. And then I guess we can just go over what else we're playing, but I guess since you're playing Dark Souls, Isley, why don't you go ahead and tell us what you think about it.
I think we should let Zaya describe it since she had a great description last night of there's big things everywhere trying to kill you.
I've been watching several people play it because I've watched a couple, like two different people play the first couple games, and I realized that I felt like I was watching two different games because there's just like you can go wherever you want and do things in such a different order. So I've been watching a few different people play it, and the one thing that I've learned is that at any given time in any given area you can turn around a corner and there will be a gigantic thing that just wants you to not exist anymore.
Yeah, that's basically
and it's
Dark Souls.
Pretty awesome.
And it's in just general, like, go.
Like somebody was like in catacombs or something, and she turned around the corner and there was like a giant fire ogre with a giant hammer just like smacked her down. I was like, what the hell is going on? What is that?
I mean, in general, I've really liked Dark Souls 3 so far. I kind of feel like it might be the best Dark Souls game. It's got the layered levels like 1 did, where everything is kind of like layered on top of each other in such a way that you find strange shortcuts everywhere. 2 kind of went away from that with the, I don't even want to call it a hub world. Like, you had your central location, but you really kind of went off in any direction.
Right, just branched out.
Yeah. So 3's kind of gone back to the hub world and the designs of everything are just extremely good in this game. I think it's my favorite Dark Souls game. But I'm only like 10 hours or 15 hours in so far, so things could change.
Yeah. And in Dark Souls, that's not even necessarily a good chunk of time, depending on how much you put in it with exploring and trying to find all the secrets and stuff like that.
Right. No, it's a super small amount, but it's really cool. So they changed a lot of the core mechanics. Like, instead of having one Estus flask, now you have two. So you have one for health and one for magic, and you have to decide what the balance is between the two of them. Mm-hmm. In terms of the fashion souls idea, the outfits in Dark Souls 3 kick ass. They're awesome. They still don't do jack shit for you. I mean, you still die in like two hits. But the actual designs of the costumes are great this time around. I don't know. I've really enjoyed it. I want to play more of it right now, but I think it's not a podcast game because I think you'll just hear me going fuck, fuck, fuck constantly.
Yeah. You just have to play more after we're done.
Yep.
But yeah, my cousin's all about it. He keeps telling me stories about stuff he's doing in the game every time I'm at work, just talking about it. But you know, he's all into it right now. So, and then of course, most of the podcasts I listen to, if they're PlayStation centric, at least they'll talk about the game and what they like and whatever they might not like. But
the one thing I've been trying to avoid is I typically play the Souls games offline my first time through. Which might seem weird because phantoms and co-op are kind of a huge part of the game, but I just love exploring without being bothered when I'm playing it the very first time. And I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
It's a fun game. I need to try.
Yeah, I'd
try co-op though.
I'd probably run around solo the majority of the thing. I mean, I prefer that in basically everyone. I tried to do co-op. I guess the only reason is because trying to do co-op in the first Dark Souls was such a pain in the ass. But I could see possibly doing it in this one. Though I wouldn't want to do it, because right now if my cousin's so far ahead, by the time I end up playing it, like, who knows when that'll be. But I wouldn't want to have him join me on stuff he'd already experienced and then deal with him. He knows the exact methods of taking something out or whatever. I'd rather, if I was going to play co-op, I'd rather it be in a section with someone who hadn't played it in that particular area as well.
Right.
Yeah.
That's one of the problems I always have with summoning too, is I'll occasionally summon someone for help or just curiosity, and they'll always run to exactly, you know, where the secret is, point at everything, run directly to the boss, hit all the switches for me, and half the time it's kind of like, I don't really want you to do that.
You just like walk up behind them and bash them on the back of the head and send them away. Like, right. No.
And I mean,
you're a bat phantom.
Part of the reason I don't play online, even with like phantom invasions, is there are too many phantoms that invade you and then help you that I don't want that. I don't want people helping me during the game. If you're invading me and you try to kill me, fine. But my biggest problem is probably half the phantoms that invade me try to help me in some way by like dropping things or showing me a path or just like waving to me and dancing. It's like, get out, stop.
That's funny. You're like, no, leave me alone.
That's the kind of invader I would be. I would just find people and dance for them.
Which, you know, it's fun.
And like roll off a cliff.
It makes me laugh, but yeah, you'd probably invade and just start shouting action roll at everything.
Yeah. Action roll right off the cliff.
That's right.
Gravity death. Right.
But and then I hear a lot of good things about Ratchet and Clank.
It spoils the movie.
Did you hear that from freaking the patch?
I heard that from a lot of places. There were a lot of little tidbits on my like Twitter feed. That were like, there's been an update. It spoils the movie. I was like, how does it spoil the movie?
Here's what I don't understand.
People that are playing it.
It's a game that's what, like 10, 12 years old? I don't know. Old. Many, many years old. It's coming out with a movie that's based on the original game that, you know, kind of updates the origin story. And there's also a game that tells essentially what I believe is the same story as the movie.
Right.
So no shit, it's going to spoil some elements of it.
And then and they get a thing like, oh, well, now if you watch the movie and play the game, are you going to be spoiled? Like, well, the movie spoiled the game for me. It's like, this is, it's so fucking ridiculous. It's dumb. I hate this. Like,
Didn't they do an update thing or something? I don't know. I didn't read any of the articles or read anything because I thought it was a stupid premise and I didn't want to ruin my brain cells. But did they do like an update where they like block the ending or something?
No, they did that thing where you can restrict broadcasting, like streaming or recording certain cutscenes. So any of the cutscenes that are taken directly from the movie, because some of the cutscenes are, some of them are in-game and some of them are taken direct from the movie, those will be blocked from streaming or from recording. So if people are watching streamers and they don't want to see those particular cutscenes, they won't, because, I mean, obviously they can circumvent that using Elgato or whatever they want. Just if they're streaming with the PS4, it's blocked. But even then, it's, I can understand people are like, well, what's the point? If I play this game, what's the point of watching the movie if it's going to be basically the same thing? And okay, I get that, sure. Because the movie comes out in a month or, you know, later this month. But then I started thinking about, well, you know, typically when there's a video game movie, the game's already been out for a long time. And technically this is based on the game that came out back in 2001, 2, whatever. Granted, it's just tweaked a bit. There's minor changes, new place to go to, but it's essentially going to be almost the same. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you go to see Prince of Persia. If you played the games back in the day, you know what those are about. So you watch the movie to see how close it is to the game. Same for Resident Evil, maybe Tomb Raider, stuff like that. So now I'm wondering, I've never played any Ratchet and Clank, but I want to play this one. But now I started to think, should I play this, then watch the movie just to see how close they are? Because I'm assuming they're going to be pretty darn close together to see if it's a good video game movie. Or should I watch the movie as someone who's never played the games and experience that, then go back and play the video game? Because I, just because as someone who's never touched the franchise, should I experience the movie as someone who played the game or as someone who never played the games and to see if this would still be enjoyable to me? You know what I mean? Because there are, like, I'd never played any of the Prince of Persia games and I watched the movie. The movie wasn't great, but I wasn't sitting there going, man, this is nothing like the game. Like, it's just, like, aside from the time dagger, it's like, I mean, it's okay. It has some moments, but overall, it's not that
great. I feel like that mostly depends on which kind of narrative experience you want, though. Because if you play the game first, you're going to have an interactive experience. If you watch the movie, it's more if you're interested in the kind of cinematic experience of, you know, the tension between characters, things like that. It's not you, it's you watching a story. Whereas if you're playing a game, it's more you directly involved. So it's kind of a choice of which do you prefer.
Right, but I like both of those things. But it's like one of the things, you know, a hair, you know, the new, a new movie based on a book comes out. Like, oh, people read up on the book first, and obviously there's going to be way more stuff in the book than there is in the movie. But I feel like as far as story for in the video game to the movie, I mean, some games can have, if the movie's, let's say, an hour and 40 minutes, you can have an hour and 40 minutes worth of cutscenes in the video game. You're just playing all the stuff in between. So it's not like where, you know, you read Game of Thrones versus watching the show. And I mean, that's a bad example because they do stuff in the show that's not in the books. But you know how to be like, there's more detail in the book than there can ever be in the movie because the movie's way too short for anything. Though I feel like with this, it's a unique situation where I'm curious how I want to do that. Like, I almost wish I could do both. Like, didn't just go back in time and MIB my flashy thing, my memory away from it, and experience both and do like a review of the movie, both as someone who never played the game and then as someone who played this game and then watch the movie. But I'm sure I'll play the game first, but it was just something I was thinking about, like which one I should do.
I wonder if, because like, I think it was more meant for like, they wanted to do a movie based on the game and this was a really good time to do it because they're kind of refreshing the series and stuff, but they're using the movie as a way for like families to go see it and maybe get interested in the game and the series and go buy a PlayStation, go buy the game, start getting into it and get kids into it and stuff like that. Whereas like people who've played the series when they were younger and are playing the game now, they now get a really, I think it looks really good, movie to go with this game that they probably like.
Yeah.
But you consider people that are like, well, if it's just the same thing, why am I going to go watch both of them? I want to watch the movie, but if I play the game, I'm just watching the same thing that I saw. And it's a weird thing. It's a cool concept, but it's a weird thing.
Right, which is why I think I should I should do the movie first.
Yeah.
Because the gameplay, they say, is fun. And I, you know, I look forward to that gameplay and all that stuff because I never experienced, and I always hear how good the Ratchet and Clank games are. So I feel like I could watch the movie, get an idea for the story, and then go back and play it. But I don't know if that would, because it's a single player game, if that would diminish my enjoyment of experiencing that game for the first time, that franchise for the first time, by doing that. Granted, there will be different cutscenes in it that are in-game that aren't taken from the film. So it'll be curious. And obviously, there could be sections in the game that aren't in the movie just because they're minor extra things. And but it'll be this. It's just this weird space because they're coming out so close together.
I think obviously there's going to be a lot of stuff in the game that's not in the movie, or like stuff you can do in the game that's maybe taking place at a different time than what's shown in the movie, or at the same time but in a different place.
Right.
So you kind of get that like expanded universe feel to it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's going to, like, because I want to go see the movie. I really want to go see it. It looks really cool and it's adorable and I love animated movies and stuff. But it's like, I don't know if it's worth, for me anyway, especially because I don't have the money to just go and buy video games. I don't know if it's worth going out and getting the game just to experience that side stuff. Like, how much side stuff is in the game as opposed to what's in the movie?
Right.
So, but you're bringing up kind of a good point. Is the movie supposed to be complementary to the game, or is it supposed to be an either or is it supposed to be like an introduction to the game?
They're both essentially the same, right? Because this is the game based on the movie based on the game. So, which is, and it's a retelling of Ratchet and Clank, so the first one. And they're basically, like I said, they're essentially the same. It would be like if this was a video game movie tie-in, where a movie comes out like The Matrix, and they make the video game that is just the exact same story, almost. I haven't seen the movies or played the game, so I have no idea how close they'll be together. But figure 90%. And then you play the Matrix video game and you're just playing the lobby scene. You're playing all those action scenes, but you still get all those cutscenes. You get all these real cutscenes or something. So it's, you know, the same, just longer for the video game, which is why it's such a weird, I want to play it and then watch it just to see how good it is as a video game movie. But because they're so close together, I can't imagine it would be bad. And, no, I don't know. It's just, it's a weird space.
But it's cool for, like, if you're on one side or the other, if you're just a movie person, you've never really played video games, or if you play video games and you're excited that there's a movie for your game. But if you're kind of like in the middle and interested in both of them, it's a weird thing for them to be so close together.
Yeah. We'll see. Like I said, I'll probably not obviously playing the one and watching the other. I mean, it's $40 for the game, so super cheap.
Oh, it's only $40?
Yeah, it's only $40.
Oh, well, fuck, I might just get it. I thought it was $60.
Nope. $40. But, yeah, I'll...
Because they figure most people are going to spend $20 to go see the movie anyway, so...
There you go. It comes with a virtual ticket.
That'd actually be really cool if it did.
If it was 60. Would,
yeah, if it was just $60 and you got, like, a ticket or two to go see the movie, that'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Yeah, I know outlets have already seen the movie. They just can't talk about it because of embargo. Mm-hmm. Yet, I don't know when the reviews are going to go up. So I think the movie comes out...
It's like 2 weeks after the game, so...
Oh, okay, yeah. I thought it was... Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't know if it was going to be next weekend or the weekend after. But yeah, 29th makes sense. But... yeah, other than that, as far as other stuff, I guess you can go into what you've been playing, Zaya, since we talked about Dark Souls.
Nothing.
Nothing? Well, nothing at all?
I've been working on my relic on 14 again because I got really, really close to finishing the stage that I was on.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing that, and I've been playing Kingdom Hearts Unchained on the phone in between my duty queues.
Does that actually tie into everything else?
I really want to play that. It's supposed to take place before everything. It's the story of the Foretellers, like right before Birth by Sleep. But it's got that mobile game padding where it's like you play like five missions of just nothing, and then you get like a couple missions of like story stuff, and then there's like, of course you're going to all the other Disney worlds, so it's like you got to deal with. I'm so fucking sick of Aladdin right now, like I just want to punch the guy in the face, but I'm done with his world, so that's okay, we can move on. But there's just a lot of like padding, and then there's like some Kingdom Hearts like story in between it, but it's still really fun, and it's still like a really neat little Kingdom Hearts game, and it just really makes me want to play the other Kingdom Hearts games again. I never got to play Birth by Sleep or Dream Drop Distance, so I'm really considering going out and getting them because I really want to play them now.
They're gonna be cheap by this point.
Do it.
Well, Birth by Sleep is in the like 2.5 HD thing, and they're only $20 each for 1.5 and 2.5, so I kind of want to get those, but I'm still thinking about it. And then I would have to go get Dream Drop Distance by itself, but yeah, it's probably like $20-$30 or something.
Do it.
I just really want to play them. I'm really on a Kingdom Hearts kick right now. I'm trying really hard to finish my Relic on 14, but I just want to play Kingdom Hearts.
It's funny, you're like, I got it, I gotta do it, it's gotta be done.
But it's like I haven't played them since they came out. Basically they were kind of like a one-time play kind of game for me, and I was like, oh, I'll go back and play it in like, you know, a couple months or whatever when it's fresh again, and I just never played them again. So now it's been years since I played them.
Nice. Outside of The Division, which had a patch go live this week where it added the incursions and a bunch of other stuff, changes to the Dark Zone and currency and the crafting mechanics, which is really nice. I love the drop zone. They also changed the Dark Zone to have different tiers for when people are already ranked 30 to based on your gear score, similar to item levels in FF. So because of that, we managed to get six of us in the same DZ bracket, which is awesome because typically you can only get four, you know, full team. But we had someone leave a party of four and then create their own party of three. And when they went back in, it didn't make us go to different DZ shards. So we're all in the same one together. It was really fun. Then we wanted to make sure we could differentiate each other from other players. So like, okay, everybody wear white. So we all like put on white jackets and like a white hat or something. Cause it displays your name when you're rogue. But if you're not rogue, we want to make sure we don't accidentally shoot one another, cause we were just going rogue like crazy. It was just a ton of fun. Just running around everybody for a while, just going rogue, getting the supply drops that were coming in. It was really funny. I haven't done the incursion yet. You need a group of four. It's pretty tough. I just haven't had any time cause it came up during the week, obviously. I'll probably maybe play some tonight if I got some buddies on there. But outside of that, I've been playing Far Cry Primal, going around, which there's something that Far Cry does in the pause menu that I really like that I didn't notice it for a long time. But when you pause the game, it essentially brings up a rock wall, like a cave wall. And it's got like the, you know, resume options menu and all that stuff. But the cave wall has a... if it's not nighttime, let's say it's daytime and you're next to a fire or your animal or whatever it is, or close to a tree, or whatever's on your screen, it will lightly show that on the cave wall as if it's like a cave drawing and it's just overlaid. It's really cool. It's like this small, subtle little thing that it does that I didn't notice for a long time until it was like, I just happened to be right next to like a fire at this campsite. And, I could see the fire just exactly on the cave wall, right where it was on my screen. And then you can also see like your weapon. It looks really cool. It's like a cool little effect for a pause menu. But they had an update where they added the, what's it called? The brutal difficulty or survival difficulty, which you have to start a new game, I think, in order to. I don't think I can change it in the options menu right now. I can't change it in the options menu yet. You have to start a new game to roll it, which brought up my text message I sent yesterday about how games that patch themselves and then make it to where saves on the current patch are not compatible with previous versions, which is kind of weird to me. In a sense, I don't understand how you can't code it in a way to where, like, obviously, so in this game, they patch in a new mode, a new difficulty, that brings in a couple other things as well. But I would think if I have a saved game and for some reason I back up to cloud and say for some reason I delete the game, I don't finish the game and I run out of room, so I delete it. Then I install it later, but I don't have the internet for some weird reason, or let's say in the future when the server's down and they don't have the updates for it anymore. And I put it in. Now I can't use my old save on the 1.0 version of the game because it's of this new mode, but it can't just revert it back to expert like the other previous difficulty and just do that. Like, I don't understand, because you can change your difficulty in the game at any time. I don't understand why you couldn't roll back. I've seen that happen with a lot of games. Like Resident Evil 5 had that, where at a point they patched it, I think, to like a 2.0 patch. I don't know what they changed, but I know they added move support, I think, later, which only came in the gold edition, and I think they added that to the older editions later on. But eventually they had it to where, oh, after this, after the recent update, whatever saves you do, you can't use on your old ones. And it's a weird thing that I see across games sometimes, that I never really considered the fact that, well, what if you uninstall the game and then reinstall, but you don't have the internet for whatever reason? Now you can't use your old save data. But not that I haven't had it affect me. And I don't know if there's ever been a case of someone being affected by that, but it was just something that I thought was kind of strange that they couldn't get a workaround for.
Yeah, it seems really weird. Like, what core thing are they patching in the game that makes it so that you can't use the save? Like, did they remove a box that you didn't need and people were getting stuck on, and now that box is there and it's just going to crash the game? Like,
yeah, I don't understand. Especially if I don't... a lot of the balance they did, too, was just for this new mode. So if it's changes or adding additional functionality for something, if I'm not using or I'm not going on that difficulty right now, like I'm not rolling a new game, I'm just playing on my existing one. But because I'm not taking advantage of these updates, whatever, I didn't read all the patch notes, I just know that's the main part of the patch was this new mode. Why can't I keep continuing using this thing that's not taking advantage of these other new features you've added? It's just kind of, I don't know. Like I said, I've never known a case of this to actually affect anyone, and who knows, maybe there could be a website online that has every firmware update for a game that you can just download to USB and install that way. I don't know if you can install USB updates for video games on the PS4, but you can't, like you can't for the firmware, but it's just, I don't know, it's kind of weird. Although I think if you buy, well, I don't know, if they, because most games, when they press them, as they keep pressing new versions of, or yeah, new versions of a game, they'll come with more recent updates for that game, depending on when it was pressed. But eventually they just stop it for a while and you can only get used or digital. But obviously if you don't have internet, then you can't get the digital version. Mm-hmm. But it's a shame you can't download the digital version off like the PC, off of Sony store, and then take that from USB and transfer it to the console or something. That would be interesting.
Yeah,
just like, I don't have internet.
ISO file.
Yeah, like you don't have it at home, internet home, but you just go to work and download in the background there or something. I don't know. Someone else doesn't, but
or like go to a store that could do it. That's a thing that like Best Buy or GameStop could do, is they download the game on your thumb drive or whatever, and you take it home
and they charge you $10 for it.
Whole, like... Yeah. Well.
I don't know.
They got to make back their used game money in the digital era somehow.
It's actually not a bad idea.
By continuing to
being able to download updates and things like that from stores for regions that don't have widespread internet access.
Well, they had that on cartridges back in around NES and whatever it was in Japan. I mean, that's, you could just go into the store and you brought in your cartridge and whatever game was on there, you just swap it and buy the new game and it installs it onto the cartridge. But obviously, I mean, I know we don't do cartridges, but the same concept can apply to USB. Just here, especially if it only had to be like a Sony licensed USB drive or whatever. And you just buy that, install it, and then transfer it over. But
they should go back to making cartridges, games on cartridges. Oh. Instead of doing discs, just make like tiny little cartridges.
So expensive.
No, I don't think so. If they made like, they could make little tiny ones now, and just like, and then they would solve that problem of like the whole digital download. Well, I don't have the internet to do the updates, or I don't have the internet to download the game. It's like, just take your little cartridge into where the hell ever and plug it in, and they do it for you for like $10.
Like if you just got the 64 gig memory stick, and then just put that into the in the machine, yeah. Kind of like the memory cards of the Vita. Just
of course, by then they'll have like terabyte memory, little tiny memory things. You could just like have your game library on your little thing, and you just go and plug it in and buy a game, and they download it and you take it home.
Yeah, but SSDs will still only be 256. No,
that does piss me off about SSDs. As a side note.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it bugs me that I can't get a 720 or 720, 7200 hybrid drive in 2 terabyte, because the only 2 terabytes I can find are 5400. Not that the speed difference is that great on PS4, but I just prefer to have the 7200. But, yeah, outside of Far Cry and Division, that's basically, I'm just cleaning up. I clean up my trophies. I'm also keeping track of the trophies I have left in order to get the platinum, and they're all easily obtainable. The downside is I don't like that it doesn't do the trophy tracking like Xbox does for achievements, to where if you have a trophy that's kill 50 enemies with this weapon, it keeps track of it in the Xbox menu, like, oh, you've done 33 of 50. So I don't have that on PS4. It's like, I don't know how close I am of killing 50 enemies with the fire. Well, how many have I done previously, and how many more do I need to do? So it's just like this, I just assume I need all 50 and just go at it.
Oh, I want that so bad. That's the one thing I wish they would put on the PS4, and the one thing that Xbox did absolutely correctly was being able to track. Because I was trying to do that trophy in Syndicate where you have to like smash all the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just kind of like driving up and down the road smashing stuff. Like, I have no idea how far or close I am away from this trophy. I don't want to do this for 3 hours.
Yeah. But, oh well, I'll just have to go through them one by one, and
mm-hmm.
Also at one point I'll be like, bling, little trophy pop. I like that I've been using that offline functionality from the 3.5 update a lot recently, where people send me invites and stuff when I'm playing the game, so I just turn it off. I also like it because then it's, you can keep it on and it gets turned off, or it stays that way once you log in for the first time. It'll show that you're offline and you have to turn it back on. So I like that feature's there. That way people don't bug me. I mean, like, I don't, and it's like, and of course it doesn't work when I'm in a game. Like, if I turn it off, but then I play the Division just to do the hard mode dailies, and then people can see me in there in the Division menu, it'll show that I'm,
mm-hmm.
that I'm online, obviously, but oh well, it's like, whatever. But yeah, hopefully I think that, longest trophy I have that I have to do is pick up 50 collect or 80 collectibles total. I've done a lot, and they're not that hard to get because they're all marked on the map. So I'm just curious how long the unlock every skill is going to take, considering I have a good amount left. Not a good amount, actually, kind of small, but it's just the cost to unlock them is pretty high. But yeah, outside of that, I was replaying the Heart of the Swarm campaign on StarCraft on a harder difficulty, just to, I don't know why, I was just playing it. I was like, hey, I kind of want to play the campaign again. I still haven't played any on the ladder this season. I need to do that, but I don't know when I'll get there. I want to finish up Far Cry. Pretty close to the end, I think, at least from where I'm at right now. I got to be getting pretty close. I got almost all the map unlocked, and just a couple areas I gotta get through that are story missions, but yeah, that should be fun.
Then you can move on to Dark Souls.
No, because then after that, then I'll be bouncing more to The Witness, because I play basically Division every night, it seems, because there's always, I log in and there's typically the group that I always run with, and if they have a spot open, then I run with them. We run the DZ and do whatever. But then if they're full, I'll just do the hard mode dailies and then log out, play something else. And if it's to right now, it's been Primal. But once Primal's done, I'll probably go back into The Witness and play that more, because I haven't played that in a while. So I'll go in there, play, do some puzzles. And then I'll end up playing, I'll probably end up getting Ratchet and Clank first, just so I can play that. And then I'll play Dark Souls afterwards. I'm in no rush to play Dark Souls. But I do look forward to playing it. I don't need to get into it right now.
Really cool.
Yeah, I know. I bet
you won't play it.
Yeah, I played all the other ones. It's just after Bloodborne, it's like, well, I liked Bloodborne way more than I liked any of the Souls games. So,
oh yeah,
did you really?
Just
that's awesome.
Oh yeah, I like Bloodborne way better than the Souls games,
including Demon's Souls.
I never played Demon's Souls, but okay. I would assume so because I still don't like that setting. I like the world and the lore.
Well, of Bloodborne. Demon's Souls was kind of like in between the Cthulhu thing and the kind of medieval setting.
Yeah, I watched the entire, like, someone did like an entire, you know, story video for, it was like every quote unquote cutscene and all the important stuff for all of for Demon's Souls. I watched that. I think it was like, what, an hour and a half maybe? And it was like, went through like the ending, like all the ending choices you could do and everything. Like, I've seen everything for it. It's just that aesthetic and everything, the whole like medieval like setting and theme. It's okay. I just don't care versus the Lovecraftian Victorian era stuff that was Bloodborne. And I like that. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I was super invested in the Bloodborne lore. Whereas I'm not that invested in the lore in Dark Souls. But I do enjoy the games. I enjoy the challenge. I like the way sections of the world work. Like, I liked the world of Dark Souls better than Dark Souls 2, just because they had some levels in there that I really liked. They do have bosses in Dark Souls that I like a lot. Like, I loved the Gaping Dragon. That's probably one of my favorite boss designs.
But I mean, I feel like that's the complaint with a lot of people for Dark Souls 2, is just that the world wasn't as good as the first one.
Yeah, but I mean, I still like Bloodborne better than the first Dark Souls. I liked it better. I like the mechanics of Bloodborne a lot better. I know they brought some of that into Dark Souls 3, which is will make me like the gameplay.
Not really. It kind of touted. That was one of the things going into it, is they talked a lot about how Dark Souls 3 was going to be faster combat, and they were going to, you know, adopt some of the mechanics. But playing through it, it really doesn't feel like they adopted many of them. And I don't want to like turn you off from the game. It is slightly faster combat.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's definitely still a slower pace, and it's noticeably slower. And it might be one of those, like, if I played Dark Souls 1 and I played Dark Souls 3 afterwards, I'd notice a huge difference. But going from Bloodborne to Dark Souls 3, you notice the stark contrast in combat speed, at least.
Yeah. It's still a lot slower than Bloodborne, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just also a different mechanic. Like, Bloodborne rewards aggression, and Dark Souls rewards caution.
Yeah, it's just that whole block and kind of thing. Like, I guess because I played it for two games, and then having it change in Bloodborne, just I like that change a lot better. And plus, I liked how the gear in Bloodborne, the armor, and, you know, quote unquote armor or whatever, it was just a lateral upgrade. It wasn't like there was no real min maxing.
They did adopt that for Dark Souls 3. All the gear is essentially lateral upgrades. Weapons are different.
Good.
But you can't upgrade armor sets anymore.
Okay, good. Then I don't have to worry about it. Because that was always the boss is like, oh, you gotta get this because this is the best, and you have to run this, and
yeah,
this needs this. And I was like,
no, like I said, armor sets in Dark Souls 3 they've always been okay. So armor sets have always been mostly cosmetic. Like, they've been like 90% cosmetic in the Dark Souls games, but there have been clear upgrades that help you survive more. Certain things were, you know, arguably better. And Dark Souls 3 kind of has toned that down a little bit, where the armor sets have gone back much more to a, you don't upgrade them, they really are just for fashion. Which I'm fine with. I mean, some of them have strengths and weaknesses, but they're largely just fashion.
Yeah, and that'd be strong. Because, I mean, Bloodborne even had a thing where, like, oh, you go to this section, oh, there's going to be poison in this area. Well, clearly wearing poison resistance gear would help just for these enemies, but you don't have to run through it the entire game. It's just this one small section if you have it. Or this lowers your frenzy, and this is, you know, got those brain enemies and the maidens or whatever, and you got to deal with that, and you got to put on that frenzy resistance. But overall, I could just wear the main hunter garb that you get in the beginning through the entire game, which is essentially all I did.
Mm-hmm.
And then even the weapons, it's like use the weapon you want to use. I mean, granted, it's not in Dark Souls. I just basically like, I liked using swords, or in Dark Souls 2, it's like, I like to dual wield. So I'll just dual wield a scimitar in this, and then just upgrade whatever sword. But as long as they're like, oh, you definitely need this thing, because it's like, I know they always have like a great sword in the game. It's like, oh, you need the great sword. It's like, I don't like using great swords, so I'm not going
to
use one.
I mean, you've never really needed to use a specific weapon in Dark right. Souls, though.
Yeah.
You've always been able to kind of use whatever the hell you want.
Mm-hmm.
But Bloodborne, I mean, you still had to upgrade your weapon, and there was, you know, a huge difference between a non-upgraded weapon and a fully upgraded one.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I don't. The weapon upgrade was fine. It's just I feel like a lot of people go, oh, this one's... I feel like there was less, this weapon's better than this weapon in Bloodborne than there was in Dark Souls. Where in Dark Souls, I feel like a lot of people were always talking about like, oh, this is the best, you know.
Yeah, you're definitely right.
Around. I
mean, Bloodborne, it was kind of a whatever moveset you preferred. And while Dark Souls was kind of like that to an extent, there were certain items that were just ridiculously broken that people used.
Yeah. Yeah, I look forward to playing. I'm in no rush right now to get into it. But it'll be everything I hear. Like I always hear people talk about it, like podcasts and stuff. It sounds fun. Like I like that. I like the game. I like playing them. Like I said, I know Bloodborne's my favorite, I still enjoy the Souls games. They are fun.
What I'm kind of curious about is what From Software will do next, because I believe they said this was the last Dark Souls game they were going to make.
That's what they said.
I'm curious if they'll continue with like the Souls tradition and they'll just move to a new world set, if they'll make like a Bloodborne 2, or if they'll go back and, you know, oh god, what was it, 3D Dot Kingdom? I think that's what it was. 3D Dot Heroes. I don't know. It was something like that. It was the Zelda Cube game that they made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the little pixel game.
Yeah, I'm curious if they'll go back and they'll make something like that. And kind of take a break from the gloom and doom.
Who knows? But Bloodborne 2 would be pretty cool, but I don't know where it would take place. Would it take place outside of Yharnam in a different city, the city that you come from? Like, would going to take place... I mean, if they follow the Dark Souls method, it'll be a generation after Bloodborne, right? Like, because that's always Dark Souls, it's always, oh, it's in the future, it's after it's been a couple generations of the last character's rule or whatever, you know.
Right, it's always been a new generation. You find out whether, you know, you find out the previous generation in any of the game failed and whatever decision you made didn't have the effect you wanted. So they could do something similar with Bloodborne, where like it could be like a new dreamer or something like that.
I feel like that's Dark Souls, the lore there. It's always like, you know, the first Dark Souls, it has the lore established the world. You know, you find out about all the stuff and then you make a choice. And then Dark Souls 2 is, all right, the lore of this game is the history of what happened between the end of that game and this game. And which is an interesting way to go about telling a story, because it's not necessarily like, you know, there's something that new that happens immediately. It's, this is the world you drop into it. You can find out the history of this world, of what happened between the last game, through roundabout ways of. So yeah, like, I don't know if you know who it was named Vadi something. He does a lot of Souls lore on YouTube. He has a really good Bloodborne lore video. It's like a 35 minutes long. And I was trying to see if he had one for Dark Souls and Dark Souls 2, because I know a lot of the lore of those games, but I don't know them nearly as well as I know of Bloodborne, because I love Bloodborne, so I like constantly was looking at everything. I was watching everybody's opinions on some of the stuff that's like you had to piece together and kind of fill in the blank. So I know what a lot of people think, but I liked his videos and I was trying to see, oh, does he have like a Dark Souls 1 lore and Dark Souls 2 lore? But he only has boss lore on like some of the bosses. Which, you know, it's like I guess I don't necessarily care about, but I'd rather see the other lore and then you can tell me about the lore of this character. Like you talk about Pinwheel and he's like, oh, and it's a dad carrying his dead wife and kid on his back, and that's why the Pinwheel has six things sticking off it, and like he stole the secrets from not Death, I forget what the name of the character is in Dark Souls, but it's this whole lore thing here. And I was like, I would have never known that about that character. It's like, it's like that game is like the lore of certain bosses I don't know as much. I just know the majority of what happens in the game. So I wouldn't mind getting like a lore refresher, but he doesn't have one. I don't know who would be a good one to watch. Plus, I like it. Like, he does a good narration. Because there are people that have lore videos, but I just don't like their voice. I'm like,
I feel like the kind of big ones are like Vati Vidya and Epic Name Bro are kind of like the big Souls players.
Yeah, so Vati's the guy I'm talking about. He doesn't have what he has for Bloodborne. He doesn't have for the first Dark Souls and Dark Souls 2.
Epic Name Bro might have one for Dark Souls 2. I can't remember.
I'll check it. There was someone else who had a Bloodborne lore video that I watched, and he had a fine narration voice, but I just stuck with Vadis because he did way more content, and I also like some of his ideas of filling in gaps.
Plus, you're right, he's got a soothing voice that he could basically fall asleep to.
Yeah.
Hey, he does. I can admit it.
Yeah, he's got a good narration voice. So, but it'd be interesting to see what From does. Bloodborne would be kind of cool, but I'd be curious what they do. Like, I have no idea what the lore would be in that. But
so I feel like in general, one of the strengths that Dark Souls kind of has over Bloodborne is variety in the environment. So Bloodborne, I love the Bloodborne kind of aesthetic, but I felt like they don't have nearly as much variety in the places you explore, because basically every place you explore was that kind of, look, it's a gothic Victorian era building that's destroyed. Look, it's another one. Dark Souls at least tried to change things up with environments in terms of weather effects, just general location of, you know, you'll explore a castle, you'll explore a broken down town, you'll explore, you know, underground cave systems, things like that. I feel like Bloodborne didn't have as much variety like that.
Yeah, I
would say they had a good amount of variety, though, because, I mean, obviously, you have Yharnam's going to look all Victorian, and then Old Yharnam is going to be it's all burnt down, but it's still the same structure-wise. And then you have Yahagul, the Unseen Village, is still the similar design for that. But then you have the Hemlock Grove will be a little different. That's like a forest thing. Then you have the Forbidden Forest, but that's still a forest anybody is a little different. Then you have Castle Cainhurst, where it's a giant castle. Then you have the lecture halls.
I mean, for me, it was the first big departure in terms of location that they had was the DLC, where you got to explore the fishing village. That was the first time where I felt like they really, you know, stepped it up with environment.
Yeah, but I feel that could be more because it was back to back to back, where, like, because, I mean, the Nightmare of Menses, each of those sections were entirely different, and you get to the main nightmare where it has his where you fight Menses there, and that final section, that's entirely different to me. But like I said, the first Dark Souls, I feel like had some good variety, but I still felt like, just because the way my character was, it still felt medieval to me, I guess. But it did have variety. You go, you know, underground to Blight Town, and then I'm totally forgetting some of the name of the places, but you go into that painting. That's a
painted world.
The painted world. And then, but yeah, but I still felt like I would see castles. Like, typically if I saw a building, it would be like castle. It might be like little wood hut villages and stuff like that, or, you know, wooden structures. But I don't know. I liked Bloodborne. I felt like there was some decent amount of change. It was just the main hubs were, you know, Yharnam and all there, which you always seem to come back to. But I felt like there was that's all opinion, so I don't disagree with you. If that's how you felt, that's totally fine.
I definitely my point is, if they make a Bloodborne 2, I'd love to see them, and I mean, obviously they would, I'd love to see them expand on everything. That would be my biggest desire, is to see them expand on further parts of the world outside of Yharnam, so we could see more of what the hell's going on.
I think it would be interesting, because in the way the lore works in Bloodborne, because like Dark Souls, it's always the person who got the ember, who started things over again, and then something happens. You know, it the cycle repeats because it's always going to.
Usually they go corrupt.
They go corrupt and something happens. In Dark Souls 2, you know, it's the queen. She shows up, and then she convinces him to start the whole war with the giants, and then he gets corrupted slowly because she's an evil person. But then it's like in Bloodborne, you have the entire lore going on there, and I'm curious if they do this, they'll have to do it a couple generations ahead, because what you'll have to do then is you'll have to establish, I would think anyways, in Bloodborne, you would have to establish new sects of the religion, you know, the church, new followers of, you know, whatever. Are you going to have, because it can't just be the same exact, you know, group and factions you saw in Bloodborne. It'd have to be new followers of whatever you do, whatever the god does.
Well, they could do like a rebirth of the gods thing where, you know, you've killed gods in the previous one and, you know, you end the DLC. I can't remember his name, but you end the DLC by killing the god that crawls out of his mother. Then he uses the umbilical cord.
Orphanicos.
Yeah, that's the one. So you could have some sort of like weird kind of death and rebirth thing going on with Bloodborne where it's a cycle of the gods being resurrected and it's a new dream. So they definitely could still follow the same narrative structure.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm just curious.
I don't know if that would expand on things much or really do much for the story.
Right, because when you're reborn, does the hunt then end? Do you purge? Does it stop the sickness that's going around? Do you stop that? Does everything get wiped out and then it just get through the Dumerians get rediscovered in the dungeons? Like, do they find that again? Like, do new people, does a new Bergenworth show up? Like, people are curious about what happened to this town, you know, this section of the world. And then they, in researching it, they discover this stuff and then they rediscover blood healing in a new area. Like, I'm curious what's going to happen. Like, will there be like a new religion that follows, that worships you kind of thing, or, you know, what's going to go on there, but not necessarily that the religions worship the god, they worship the church, and granted the higher section of the church knew about the gods, but
that would be a cool way to handle it, is that since, well, depending on which choice you take at the end, you become a god or, you know, you die.
Or you wake up.
Yeah. It would be kind of interesting if a future Bloodborne was based off of the idea that you'd become a new god and change the world according to your vision. And that's what you're exploring in a Bloodborne 2, like, you know, in the future.
Right, yeah. Which, of course, with our history of Dark Souls and Bloodborne, shit's going to go bad. So it might have been good, but you had good intentions, but then something goes... It's the people. It's the humans that always will fuck things up. So,
yeah.
You know, you go back and you're just, it's the same thing. You're looking at the history of, to see the new lore, that the history that between the old, the past game and then the current game, and what the fuck happened. Like, oh, it got cured, but then these people, these researchers just dug too deep trying to find out, you know, quote unquote, the truth. And then they discovered this and blah, blah, blah. But like, and did you help create new gods? I mean, because you know how to do it because you did it yourself. So do you... Are there any other gods I keep calling them gods, but are there any great ones left, like, that you could, like, can you, is there a way for you to create more? Do people become more of them? Like, I'd be curious to see what happens, because you essentially destroy the entire structure. So, yeah. But who knows? It'd be
interesting. There's definitely a lot of potential.
There is. Yeah. And I'd be really curious, but who knows what's going to happen. It'll be just a game of wait and see.
I want it now.
Yeah, I know.
You just got a Souls game.
I know, and I just got Salt and Sanctuary, so it's like I basically just got two Souls games, and I still want more. I just really enjoy the gameplay. Like, they're a series that sells me on pretty much gameplay and aesthetic alone, and there aren't many games that can do that anymore. Like, you know. I mean, in the past, I pretty much would buy any Final Fantasy game, and I know the aesthetic and story's changed, but I pretty much bought them for the same reason of it was just, you knew exactly what you were getting.
Mm-hmm.
And the Souls games are kind of like that now for me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's... I mean, I'm not kind of that way about Assassin's Creed, right? I know they come out every year, but I still enjoy playing them. I like the gameplay, and then it's just, I just have fun. That's why I was like, when they stopped doing this one this year, I got kind of bummed. I was like, damn it. I like looking forward to a new Assassin's Creed every year. Even if it's like not as good as the last one, the gameplay is still going to be fun. And if the story's, I'll get mad at the story about not doing more present day shit, but I'll still enjoy running around assassinating people. And that's why I like Far Cry. Like I could almost probably have a Far Cry every year, and I guess I'd be fine. I mean, there's a lot of people like that, but a lot of different, some people want a Mega Man or a Castlevania every year, like a good old school one, and they'd be fine with that. But
I'd love for a new Mega Man X.
It'd be interesting. Who knows what Capcom's doing?
Absolutely. I guarantee it's not Mega Man X.
No, right now it's all the Resident Evil re-releases and stuff like that. But
it's the same shit that Naomi's doing, running their company into the ground.
Yeah. Man, I know they probably won't do it, but I would love to see a remake. Just because I went back and I wanted to replay Metal Gear Solid, but I don't want to hook up my PS3, or I didn't want to play on my Vita. So I just watched like a movie cut someone posted on YouTube yesterday. It was like 4 hours long. I watched that and I was like, man, I would love to see just a Fox Engine remake of Metal Gear and Metal Gear 2 Solid Snake. Like that'd be so fun to play. Cause then
wasn't there a fan project that was doing that got shut down?
There was a fan project to recreate Metal Gear Solid, I believe. I don't remember one to but not the NES games.
Okay.
Yeah, but it'd be fun because then you can keep. I mean, if they wanted, they can bring in Kiefer and then bring back David Hayter to do Solid Snake in those games.
Can you imagine the tension in that recording room?
That would be fun. Well, he said he has no ill will. I listened to an interview with him. I think I talked about it last week, but
yeah, but they can say all they want in an interview. But
well, he sounded he sounded sincere about it. Like I've heard a lot of interviews with David Hayter.
It's probably he seems much more pissed off at Kojima than Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah, because he said he didn't care to work with Kojima again, but he didn't mind if he'd working with Konami again if they wanted to do anything. But like I said, it's just pie in the sky. I wouldn't mind a remake of it because that'd be kind of fun. I don't know. It would just be...
They should do it and tie it everything back into Phantom Pain and make it truly, truly circle-y and completed.
Well, I don't know how they would go back, because essentially Phantom Pain ties into both those games, especially with the way it ends. Like it tells like, okay, this is how it is, and then...
Just make it more apparent that, spoilers, the end of Phantom Pain is what starts the game, basically.
Right, so right. Yeah, I guess you just pick up there. Yeah, because when I was playing Metal Gear Solid, it was funny. I was listening to, you know, Liquid's talking about how, you know, and he goes, and then Father was in a coma and injured. And I'm like, he was in a coma and injured.
He was.
I was like, but yeah, no shit. and then Ocelot talking about like, yeah, my time in Afghanistan and like blah, 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 and this here. And it's like, you were in Afghanistan.
I love doing that.
I played that. It's like, suddenly it's like, it brings like a whole new context to what they're saying, even though it's like, yeah, the first time here, it's like, okay, you were there. But then it's like, I played it and you were there. I saw it. But
before it was just kind of like a thing he was talking about. And now it's like, oh, you were there. Yeah. I saw you on your horse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You told me to become bring the legend back to life. He's like, I did that. But man, I was reading, I don't know why I was rereading a timeline of Metal Gear. I don't know why I did that, because I know it, so I don't know what I was reading it for. But at one point they were talking about how Huey was leaking information to Cypher about when in Phantom Pain did they actually find proof that he was leaking information to Cypher?
I don't think it was any part of the main stuff. I think they just talked about it in a tape or something like that.
Okay, because I listened to all tapes. I didn't remember that. Because I was too focused on the cutscenes and being like, man, what's going on with Huey? Like, he's disguised in denial, so it kept throwing me off in the cutscenes. And I was like, I don't know what the hell's happening. I was like, he's saying he's not, and then he's yelling, like, he fucks up and causes the virus to break out or the parasite to break out in that section. You kill him and he gets mad at you. And now you're like being real mean to him. You're kicking him off. And I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah, because I remember they talked about it, but I don't remember specific like cutscene or instance where it was like revealed.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was a tape where they were talking about it.
That could make sense. Like, yeah, hey, boss, we found transmissions of Huey sending off to someone back in the States. You know, it's...
Yeah, it might have been like a tape that you get like on the way back to Mother Base or something, and then it leads into all the other... It leads into like the whole, we're going to be mean to Huey and he's doing bad things and we're going to put him on a boat.
Yeah, and he's also lying to himself all the time. And yeah, crazy. He's
crazy.
Yeah, and I in the timeline too, it said that Dr. Strangelove was working with Zero to begin creating the AI for that would eventually become the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember when that was specifically said. Like, I know Strangelove eventually meets up with Huey, you know, because they have Hal, but I don't remember them saying that she helped Major Zero create the AI, or at least begin creating the AI. But I don't know. It was weird. I was like, maybe that was in like a tape, I guess, or something, but
I don't know. The only tapes I remember of Strangelove are the ones with Huey.
Yeah. When she trapped herself in the AI pod, then she died.
She didn't trap herself.
Well, yeah, yeah, but she was trapped. She was trapped in it, and then, but yeah, I was like, I don't know. It was maybe there was something in there somewhere.
I don't remember.
Yeah, that was. It was just kind of odd. I was like, I mean, I guess it could make sense, but I
just assume it was a tape somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, tape. Well, it'd just be weird. Like, why would I have this tape? Because I know you do get tapes from the conversation from Major Zero to. When he's talking with Ocelot, you know, and he's telling the whole plan thing, but I think those were given to you specifically. And there was, I don't remember Strangelove being mentioned in it, but I mean, not that it wouldn't make sense, because I, you know, you don't know what happens to her at the end of Peace Walker. But, yeah. But yeah, it would be fun to play a remake of Metal Gear. It'd just take a lot of work. But
yeah. It would be awesome, though.
Yeah. That would be fun. Bad. Yep. Oh, wells. And I'm currently watching through a movie cutscene, or all the movie clips, essentially, of Metal Gear Solid 4. But it's like, because the way the person edits it, they kind of include a little bit of gameplay, but not much. It's just these super short cuts. Or if there's like a long piece of codec call before a section, they'll have gameplay and then play the codec video call over it, so at least there's something going on. It's not just sitting there in the codec screen necessarily. Mm-hmm. But it's like 7.5 hours, so I'm like, it's gonna take a while. Jeez. Yeah. I think I'm an hour and a half into it, but just because it's been a long time since I played Metal Gear Solid 4. I mean, I know the ending because I've watched the end with spoilers, but with Snake talking to Big Boss about Major Zero. I watched that a couple times just out of the blue, but yeah, going back and watching this and just cause. But,
watch it again.
Let's see here. All right, well, I guess, damn, we actually went longer than I expected for having no news. I guess we just talked about the games a lot, but I guess it's a good thing.
Ramble.
A quick remember shared desktop. I like how you got your hand up.
I was asking.
High five you.
Yeah, hand up.
High five.
Boom, boom. Click them away. I mouse click high fived you. It's a shame when the mouse doesn't go over it. It doesn't go to the finger pointing, so it looks like I'm touching the hand. It just stays on the. It's just an arrow.
Poke it.
Yeah, the shared desktop. I guess I could. We'd have to test that outside the podcast, but.
What did you want to test it for, anyways?
Oh, the rabbit thing.
Huh?
That's what I was most. Yeah, that's what I was most curious about. Is what you wanted to test rabbit for?
Oh, I was gonna. I wanted to do like just a react to this video I had watched. I was catching up on a podcast and they had done a reaction video to something on YouTube, and I showed it to my cousin and to Flash, and I was like, man, but I wasn't there when they watched it. So I couldn't see their reaction. I just talked to it about him afterwards. So I was like, I should watch, I should see if I could share it with Zaya and Isley and then just record the reaction on audio. But I didn't know if there was any way to share. I mean, aside from saying, okay, everybody click on this YouTube video link now, because I wanted to be at the same time. So at least if I was to insert the audio from it, rabbit.
That's the site for a future reference if you want to do it next week or whatever. Rab. If you want to test it out first.
Chat now.
Rabbit.
Have an iPhone? Download Rabbit for iPhone.
I don't have an iPhone.
What would you like people to call you? The default name is Jessica. Dun, dun, dun. It's kind of scary. If
that's not my account name, so it's just weird coincidence.
It's Jessica Rabbit. It's a joke.
I guess it okay, would be Jessica
but
Rabbit.
My name is Jessica, so there's weird coincidence all around.
Yeah. Okay. If you already have a Rabbit account, log in. Oh, okay, I'll have to remember this, and then you just it'll play.
Yeah, you can just mess with it. It's just like it opens like a chat room, and then it's got like a remote desktop like window, and it's basically like a browser. The last time I used it anyway, I haven't used it in a little while because the person that I used it with, I don't talk to anymore. So
cut that shit out of your life. No. Like, we don't need people like that.
No. Pretty much. But yeah, the last time I used it, it was just like a chat room that had like a bar or you could do webcam and audio chat. Mm-hmm. And it was just like a browser window and you could just use it like a regular browser.
Hmm.
All right. So I don't know how it works now. You can...
It'll try to do it next time. Give it a test at some point. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
the real question is, can I raise my hand while using it?
I don't know.
They might
that
have
is,
that now.
That is how I will judge all shared apps from now on.
Can I raise my hand?
Can I give purple high fives to people?
Yep. All right. We need a secret word. I guess it could be storm. It was pancake last time, so storm would be the secret word. But,
pancake storm.
Yep.
Yeah, that'd be a good one, too. Pancake storm.
Pancake storm. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Get a quieter mechanical keyboard.
It's not mechanical. It's regular. I just type that hard? I punch the keys. Well, when you type fast, I guess I can try to type faster but quieter, but when you type fast, it's like, slam, slam, slam. I like it because when I use I forget that I changed my setup on when I played a Division to use the PS4 camera as my mic, so that way I can record the party chat or the game chat in there as well as mine and have it all in the video. But the way I have the camera set up, the microphone's right behind my keyboard, so if I ever stop to type something, it's like, tack, 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 and I'm like, what is that sound? And I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot it's recording from the camera. But yeah.
When I type, it's just, you can hear my, there's no like sound from my keys because my keyboard's really quiet, but my nails clack on the keyboard and that's the only sound.
Yeah, like
I can't have a mechanical keyboard because it's too much clacking.
I can type quieter on it. It's just when I type quick, it's hard to, you know, not hit harder when you're typing fast. But
that's the thing is, it's just my nails, just my nails tacking.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that'll wrap it up for this episode then. Like I said, good. Decent one for not having any news, really. All right. Well, thank you, Isley. Thank you, Zaya, for joining.
Yep.
And thank you all for tuning in, and we will see you guys next time.
Later.
Bye.